Good morning, Northwest. Glad you are here today. And y'all, I got to tell you, I'm really stoked because I just some friends that I've been getting to visit with, have some conversations about Jesus with, they're visiting today. And just want to say, welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. I want to first do a little just business here. I want to thank all of our members who voted online this past several days for our budgets and for our elders. And if you haven't done that yet, if you're a member, you got an email, today's the last day to do that. Also, Cassie mentioned this, but I personally want to thank our church for your investing in the kingdom business of God here. This year, Northwest Bible Church has received more money than we've ever received before for both our general budget and our missions budget. You want to just thank God here, church? And y'all, that video, if you've been here, you know that is just one of many stories that you get to see what God is doing with your investment here. And I'll tell you, one of our members told us about this, who works on our outreach team, and she said, hey, you might want to show this story because last year, Roger and Amy were working with that group of people through the book of Luke as we were working through Luke last year. And right now, they're doing Acts. And if you've been here a while, you know we're in Acts. So let's turn to Acts chapter 13. And if you wanna look with us, you can. There's a pew Bible in front of you. You can turn to page 866 here. And now I just gotta say something because somebody's gonna call me out on this. If you were here last week, you were like, hey, Neil, you did Acts 11 last week. What happened to Acts 12? Well, next week, y'all, you know that little video we played with the cool looking little church? That's Antigua, Guatemala. Next week, I'm going there. And for the next couple weeks, I'm gonna go to Guatemala and Cuba just to do some missions work there. And I'm gonna be gone. And because I'm the senior pastor, I said, I want Acts 13. Somebody else can do Acts 12. I just pulled the pastor card, y'all. But seriously, I wanted the opportunity to look at Acts 13 because of what God is doing here right now. And I want to prepare us, okay? So, just a little history here. If you've been with us, you know, back on January 18th, we made a pretty big announcement here where the elders and I announced to the church that we would begin the process of searching for our next senior pastor. Like any good organization, we'd been working on this. And I will tell you, unexpectedly to me, in early 2025, I became convinced that now is the time that the Lord is leading Vila and I to step into our next phase of ministry. And let me be really clear. The first step of that next phase is to shepherd this church until we get a new senior pastor, okay? Lord willing. That's the deal. And as this has kind of gone on, people have asked me, somebody asked me just recently, Neil, you feeling weird? I'm like, I'm always weird. You okay? And I want y'all to know that this has been a season of peace and anticipation for Vila and for me. And we love this church and we believe God has someone for us for years to come. And some of you might have been wondering because 6 weeks ago, John Boynton, who's one of our elders, and a member of the search committee, got up and he informed us that 100 men have expressed interest in this position. And we were thinking maybe we'll take 50 to replace me. Just kidding. And then John told us that we are down to less than a handful of candidates. And now think about this. This has been going on 6 weeks. This search committee's been digging hard on the less than a handful of candidates. Now, I want to say something here, and you better pay attention for this line. Don't miss this line, otherwise you're gonna come up and ask me questions this morning, okay? July is gonna be a critical month. Now, we do not know if one of these handful of candidates is gonna be the next senior pastor or not, okay? If you get it, did you write it down? Okay, however, 6 weeks, and now July's gonna be a critical month of discerning by our search committee and our elders if one of these men, if they wanna present one of these guys to the body. Our church may be on the cusp of what I'm gonna call today an Antioch moment. Got it? You're like, Antioch moment? That sounds like some church language. It is. So in Acts 13, I'm gonna read just a few verses this morning, and you're gonna understand by the end of this time what I mean by an Antioch moment, okay? So let me read verses 1-4. The story of the gospel going out continues, and it says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, hey, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed. And I love that. And I'm going to just pause right there. They sailed. Now, somebody came up to me last week and said, man, Neil, I'm so confused about all these places. So I'm going to show you again where we're at from a map, and we'll put that map up. And you'll notice on this map here, there's Jerusalem down the bottom of your screen, okay? And around Jerusalem is Judea and Samaria. And Jesus made a promise. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the gospel is not gonna just stay in Jerusalem, but it's gonna go to the whole world. And in Acts chapter 11, we saw the gospel going to this place, Antioch. Y'all, let me tell you again what's so amazing. This is the second major hub of Christianity. See, when it was in Jerusalem, it was 99.9% Jewish people who had come to know Jesus, and now Antioch means this. You can trust Jesus in his every word, and the gospel's going to the world, and this church is gonna be a key church, and in Acts 13, what you have is what I'm gonna call, and what others have called, an Antioch moment. Because the church in Antioch, they had this moment. God speaks under the divine direction of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas and Saul get sent out on what we call Paul's first missionary journey. Saul will later be called Paul. And Acts 13 and forward, God uses this Antioch moment to accelerate the ministry of that church at Antioch and alter the religious complexion of the whole known world, okay? This is a big moment. And here's what we're gonna do this morning. I'm gonna make four observations from the description of what happened at the church in Antioch. And I'm gonna tell you, when you see them, you're gonna say, these are so obvious. We didn't need somebody with a seminary degree to tell us these, okay? And I wanna be clear. None of these observations are direct promises for Northwest Bible Church, but they speak to how God has worked in history to lead his church in the mission of the gospel. Because there's no cause greater than the gospel, church, amen? And so I believe they speak to us in our Antioch moment here to get our eyes and our minds and our hearts pursuing God together at this time. Got that? At the end of this sermon, I'm going to call all of us to get behind our search committee and to get behind our elders by getting our eyes and our minds and our hearts on seeking God together in some very specific ways, okay? So, four observations from the text to prepare us to seek God together in this senior pastor transition during this time. Observation number one, God spoke when they were worshiping and fasting. I told you, you didn't need somebody with a seminary degree to tell you that, right? You could read the text. God spoke while they were worshiping and fasting. Look at verse two again. When they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, in that moment, guys, because a small group of people took God seriously enough, the creator God of the universe, the one who created every single person on the planet, looks down and says, I got a word for y'all. Because I got a job for y'all. And let's be really clear, church, this was not a casual prayer meeting. This was not one of those moments of, hey, God, we need something here. By the way, just, hey, bless us here. No. This was not a casual prayer meeting at all. This was intense. It was intentional. And the reason I say that is because of two words that are used in the text there. It says they were doing what? They were worshiping and they were fasting. Let me tell you about this word worship, why I say it's intense. That particular Greek word there is used to describe the priest in all that they did in their temple worship and helping the people of God worship. Remember, the priests, these were the full-time dudes who were, they were in charge of all that happened. They had to have their mind in the game constantly. And it says, this small group of people, that's how they were coming to God, praising God for who he is, petitioning God for whatever he wanted from them, and then fasting. I wanna say something about fasting here, just to put this in context, because I know for a lot of people, that might be a new idea. Fasting is actually not talked about a lot in the New Testament. It seems that when we hear about the church fasting, it was a practice that was especially used for discerning God's will. You could say this, in the Bible, fasting, the purpose of fasting is to intentionally step away from some of our comforts and distractions to focus completely on God. Y'all, remember our God says this over and over again. If you seek me, you will. What? If you seek me, you will find me. Seek me with all your heart and you're gonna find me. Y'all, it almost seems that God shows up where God is wanted. It almost seems that God shows up where God is wanted. In a way, fasting is just saying, God, we really do need you more than food. And we're gonna take you seriously when it says, delight yourselves in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, you get this sense in that Antioch moment. I'm gonna use modern day terms. I don't know if they had this or not back then. In that Antioch moment, they stepped away from Facebook. They stepped away from the stock market. They stepped away from incessantly checking the news every 5 seconds. They even missed a couple World Cup games. And they were delighting together in Jesus because they really believed there's no cause greater than the gospel. And nothing beats knowing Jesus. Amen, church. Because a few people took God seriously. God spoke when they were worshiping and fasting. And so I really want to drive this home. This idea of praying, worshiping, and fasting, This is hard for us to think about this because we're so locked in on our individual lives. Folks, this was a corporate thing, okay? And it's why, again, at the end of this time, I'm gonna give us something to do specifically together. And as we read on, and we're gonna see God did amazing, amazing things and people were rejoicing, but I think it's good just on this second point, is as good as all this is, to acknowledge this, the God-directed leadership changes were undeniably difficult, okay? The God-directed leadership changes, I'm sure, shook people up a little bit. Go to verse 1 where it says, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and leaders. Barnabas, and if you were here last week, Barnabas was pretty awesome. You want a church full of Barnabases, right? He was a Jewish man from Cyprus, we were told. He was a landowner, Acts 4. He was a Levite. And then it says you had this guy named Simeon who was called Niger. Simeon's a Jewish name. And this Roman name, Niger, suggests that he was possibly a black proselyte from Africa. And then you got this guy, Lucius, from Cyrene in North Africa, and tradition tells us this, that Lucius returned to his homeland and became the first bishop. Manaen, y'all, look what it says to this guy, a lifelong friend of that rascal Herod. The gospel had gotten into his ear, whether he wanted to hear it or not. And then you have Saul, the Pharisee of Pharisees, and yet, y'all, try to put yourself in their position. God calls out 40% of that incredibly diverse leadership team at an incredibly diverse church, and he calls out 40%. Can you imagine if you were Manaen? Can you imagine if you were Lucius, Simeon, or maybe even somebody in that church? The people that you had known and loved, you're not gonna see them day to day anymore. You're not gonna see them week to week anymore. In fact, I wanna show you what one commentary said in the book of Acts. F.F. Bruce said this. He said, the two men, this is speaking of Saul and Barnabas, who were to be released for what we should now a days called missionary service overseas, like those people in our video, were the two most eminent and gifted leaders in the church. The God-directed leadership changes were undeniably difficult. Years ago, I did a series on goodbyes. It was one of my personal favorite series I've ever done, and nobody else has told me it was their favorite, but it's still my favorite, okay? And we said a couple things about goodbyes, and the first thing I said is this, goodbyes are hard. Amen? Goodbyes are hard. And I also said this, goodbyes are God-centered. You know, old English word for goodbye, God be with you. It was a way of saying, listen, in this goodbye, God, we are entrusting that person who we're not gonna be with anymore to you, and we're entrusting ourselves to you. And healthy goodbyes are driven by this conviction, church. Okay, I'm gonna say some things here, and you know what you need to do? You need to say amen like you mean it, okay? You ready? Healthy goodbyes are driven by this conviction. God alone is worthy of our worship. And God alone is worthy of our best attention, church. And our hearts are set on God and God alone. And we commit ourselves to God first. And then, as the scripture has revealed, we commit ourselves to God first and then to a blood-bought body of believers in Jesus called the church. So, let us remind ourselves in our Antioch moment, our hearts are not set on any one man or any one person. God alone is worthy of our worship. Jesus alone is the head of this church. You know, in that series on goodbyes, I also said this, that goodbyes are a part of growth, right? Think about this. Goodbyes are a part of growth. You know, think about some things you did when you were a baby. If you didn't say goodbye, like, you want to be, can I just say something really awkward? Think about if you hadn't said goodbye to diapers, this would be a really awkward moment here this morning. Goodbyes are a part of growth. And so, here's my third observation to prepare us corporately to pursue God in view of our leadership changes here. The leadership changes were not primarily losses. They weren't just about, you know, this painful, sad thing, but they were strategic reassignments. So let me tell you here that Saul and Barnabas, they actually stayed connected to the church in Antioch. They brought back reports of their mission. They were still a part of the church. And Acts chapter 13 and 14 is Paul's missionary, first missionary journey. And if you go to verse 26 in Acts 14, it says they did all this stuff, then they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had fulfilled. And when they arrived, they gathered everybody from the church together and they declared all that God had done with them in their strategic reassignment and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they celebrated. So in the mind of Paul and Barnabas, hear me say again, the leadership changes were not just losses, they were strategic reassignments. Got it? Similarly, the way the elders and I see the opportunity of succession that we have here in our Antioch moment is not simply when does Neil leave, but when and how are Vila and I commissioned and strategically reassigned as part of Northwest Bible Church. We have no other church home to go to. You are our family. For us, inviting people into the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus is right here. So I want you to know the primary question here is not, it's really not one of leaving. It's a question of sending and timing and shifting and a new pastor coming and the new work that God is going to do here. Can you believe that with me, church? And let me be clear, it's not just about what God will do through Vila and me, but what God will uniquely do in this city and around the world through everybody here. So here is my fourth observation to prepare us corporately to pursue God in view of our leadership changes here. The strategic reassignments, again, observing what happened then, went beyond maintaining the status quo or surviving. They unlocked greater redemptive potential. I heard a pastor use that phrase years ago, and I love it. Unlocked greater redemptive potential. So I want to just briefly tell you the story of Acts 13 and 14. You can go home and read it, okay? Here's a map of Paul's first missionary journey. You know, really smart people, they dig in and they find these places. And here's what happened. So Saul and Barnabas, Holy Spirit says, guys, got a new job for you. They take off and they go to an island named Cyprus. It says they go through the whole island and they get to this city, Paphos, and there's this governor they find there, the governor of the city. And he's got this creepy little magician dude following him around, okay? He's a really creepy guy. And he doesn't want Saul and Barnabas to tell the governor about Jesus because it's a threat to his power, right? And so Saul, in Saul fashion, says, you know, I'm tired of you messing with us here. And he blinds the guy, okay? It's pretty rough. But not only is the creepy magician dude blinded, the governor's eyes are opened and he comes to know Jesus. And I should say this, I hope every person here, by the work of the Spirit of God, your eyes are open to Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross and rose again. And he wants you to believe in him for your eternal destiny. And right now you could just say, Jesus, I believe in you. And then you come up after and tell me, and then we figure out where to go next, okay? So they go, this governor comes to know Jesus, and then here's generally what happens next. Can I see that map one more time, Kathy? Sorry, I know I was a long time there. But just, they start going to all these different cities. Thank you, Kathy. You can see on that little cutout there where this actually is in Europe, and you got the idea here. But now you can take it off, Kathy. But as they go to all these other cities, what generally happens is they go into a synagogue. Jews that had been scattered in the Roman Empire, they go to their synagogue, they start talking about Jesus, and some Jews believe, and all of a sudden lots of Gentiles believe. And as they believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, people are excited, but also some of the Jews in those towns, they get jealous, and they ultimately run Saul and Barnabas out of town as this redemptive potential is being unlocked. And then they just go to another place and unlock all the redemptive potential there. And we're told, if you go to verse 21 in chapter 4, it says, now when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they start tracking their way back home. They return to Lystra, to Iconium, and they go to Antioch. And while they're going, they strengthen the souls of those disciples and those new believers. They encourage them to continue in the faith. And they remind them, hey, it's not all a cakewalk. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And then they have to appoint elders because churches are coming out of this. And with prayer and fasting, they committed to them to the Lord in whom they have believed. And you know what, church, that has been continuing all around the globe to this day. Do you know 2.6 billion people? If you ask them, who's the God you believe in? They would say Jesus. Not all of them are believers. But from that, 2.6 billion people today. So church, I want to just put this picture in your mind. Please let us not imagine. Let us not imagine that after God sends Saul and Barnabas out, that he was somehow nervously tapping his foot, wondering, is the church in Antioch going to make it? Are they going to survive? Are they going to maintain? No, not at all. In fact, we said this. We said that the title of this series, what you see in the book of Acts, is that the church will stand. Got it? So, let me say something about this Antioch moment for Northwest. I want you to know it is not governed by how or will we survive or maintain. For me and the elders, this Antioch moment for Northwest Bible Church is about, okay, God, what are you gonna do next to unlock as much of the redemptive potential as possible that you yourself has put in the DNA of this place? Now, what will that look like? I don't know for sure, but we're praying and asking for the God that, here's how it talks about him in Ephesians chapter 3, the God that God will do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, and that he would be glorified in this church for years to come, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. I don't know what it will look like. It might look like more people here. I hope it looks like more people coming to know Jesus. I think in light of where we're at culturally, I actually think, and the people that have been coming, I do think it's gonna look like more intentional discipleship here. And church, I hope that it looks like every one of us, no exceptions right now, okay? I hope that it looks like every one of us giving ourselves more fully to the one who has saved our souls. Got it? And I want you to know, it is not hard for me to trust that God will bring us a new senior pastor who will join with us and accelerate the mission here, and I want you to say it together, of inviting people into the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus. Okay, four observations: to prepare us corporately, to pursue God in view of our leadership changes here. I wanna review this. God spoke when they were worshiping and fasting. And in that time, the God-directed leadership changes were undeniably difficult, yet the leadership changes were not fundamentally losses. They were strategic reassignments, and those strategic reassignments went beyond maintaining the status quo or surviving. They unlocked greater redemptive potentials. So, I have three things that I and the elders want all of us to do in our Antioch moment this July, okay? And before I tell you, I do feel like I just wanna share a little bit more about my heart here. I really want every person here right now, without exception, to see that you have a role. The elders and our search team, they have been working hard. And I want all of us, whatever happens in the fall, however God leads, one, to be emotionally prepared. Two, that you would be spiritually engaged in this moment. You know, it's amazing to me that when you look at Acts 13, and it says they laid hands on them and prayed. And I can imagine that the whole church, without hesitation in that moment, are praying for them. And again, this could be our Antioch moment for our 75th anniversary. A couple months ago, we put this cool timeline up of the church. And in a sense, you have all these different Antioch moments. And at the end of that timeline, yo, we're gonna put a new moment there, right? That eventually, whether it's in 3 months or a year or in 10 years, I'd be pretty old then. On that timeline, we're gonna have the name of a new senior pastor, church. And so, here's what I want every person here, without exception, to do over the month of July. We're gonna pray for the discernment of our search team and elders, and we're gonna pray for the readiness of our own heart and our own discernment. Got it? So three specific things here. Okay, the first, I want all of us to sign up for a text message to pray in the month of July. So here's how you do it. You can get your phone out right now, guys. On January 18th, when we first announced about this, we invited everybody to sign up for this, and we prayed every day for 30 days, and then we've gone to once a week. So right now, July, everybody, right now, you sign up, and you're gonna get a little text message every day, something to pray for, and it will also be a reminder that you're joining everybody together. You get to have a role in this, and you might think, is that a very big deal? Hey, you get to talk to the God of the universe, the ear that matters the most about this, okay? So I'm gonna give you a second here. Get that done. Good job, Serena. How we doing? Got it? You got it? Okay. Okay. Secondly, I want you to take this from the pew in front of you. Okay. This is a way for us to pray together. It says, as we continue our senior pastor's church, let us seek the Lord together this July for the next season of ministry at Northwest Bible Church. Be intentional to gather together with your small group, family, friends, or ministry team to pray. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do in the month of July. You would gather with some others. You can use this as a guide to worship and pray, and you go before the Lord. And y'all, you know, we have 1,000 people in small groups here, 1,000 people. Y'all, I said 1,000 groups last hour, and that was a little problem. But I just want you to imagine 1,000 people coming together to pray in the month of July to the God who says, if you seek me, you're gonna find me, okay? And I know that, you know, some of you are gonna be grinding it out here. Some of you are gonna be on vacation. But if your group isn't meeting, FaceTime them. Okay, Zoom, whatever it is you do. But that you would take some time to just go through this and you pray and you have a part. Now, one more thing here, because I get that we're all really busy. So the third thing I want us to do is to create space, time, and focus, okay? Create space, time, and focus. And I want you to ask you to do this, to take time from something you normally do. The Bible calls that fasting. It may be a fast from a meal or a couple of meals. You don't have to prepare it. You don't have to take time to eat it. Now, I gotta say this. I know there's all kinds of painful stuff around eating in our culture. So if it's not a meal, if it's not about food, it may be a fast from the entertainment you normally take in. And then you take that time to devote to prayer, okay? You're just saying, God, we know we need you right at this time in our Antioch moment more than we need food, right? Okay? So I just wanna ask three things here. These text messages, this time where you find a group and you do that, and you create some time. Who's with me here? Y'all with me? Because it's not really, are you with me? Are you with Jesus and his church? Amen. So let's do this. Let's practice what we've talked about. I want to encourage you to take the pew, the little kneeler from the pew, and we're going to kneel, and we're going to go to the Lord who said, seek me and you will find me. We're going to go to him. And we understand that he wants to hear from us on this and that we need to hear from him, okay? So here's how we're gonna do this. I'm gonna lead you in some prayer. And you guys know that when you're praying in your own mind and quietly, God hears your prayers, right? And everybody could be praying and hears all of them. So the same thing works if you're praying out loud. So I'm gonna tell you some stuff to do and you're gonna just say it out loud. It's okay for others around you to hear you, okay? So here's how we're gonna start. When I say go, you go. We're gonna praise God. We're just gonna focus on his character. You're gonna say things, God, I praise you for your holiness. I worship you for your sovereignty in this moment, okay? You ready, church? Go. I can't hear anybody. Now we're gonna just thank God, just thanking him, not asking him for anything yet. You're just thanking him for how you have seen or heard of his faithfulness to Northwest Bible Church over these 75 years or the time you've been here, what he's done in your life or a friend's life. You guys go ahead out loud, wanna hear you thanking God right now. Okay, we're gonna do this out loud. We're gonna pray for our future senior pastor. Whatever God puts on your heart to pray for that man, you pray for him right now. Go ahead, out loud, I wanna hear you. Okay, let's pray for this church family right now, y'all. You can ask God to preserve our unity, deepen our dependence on him, keep us focused on the mission. You pray for the search team. You pray for elders. Go ahead, out loud right now, you pray. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, church, let's stand together and we're gonna just have a moment to worship the greatness of our God before you get out of here, right? Because we're pursuing the God who says, if you seek me, you'll find me.